Hi, everyone, and welcome to Pastor's Ponderings. I'm Pastor Kevin from the Hinton Alliance Church, and
I'm Pastor Ryan,
and we're here together to bring to you some thoughts and to revisit Sunday's message and hopefully maybe ponder a few things about it and maybe dig up a few other things that maybe we didn't have time to say in the service. And so this is our way of kind of rethinking and reshaping and wandering through the message and hopefully learning some new things. And I'm glad you're here, and I hope that you can enjoy the journey with us. And so we look forward to spending this next half hour with you. And Lord willing, you'll be blessed as well.
Hello, Kevin.
Hello. Oh, doing fantastic. What a beautiful day we got going here.
Oh, I know. It's warming up.
I think we're up to 10 or close to it anyway. Wow. Ooh, it's nice out there.
Feels like summer.
Yeah, a little windy.
Not quite, but.
Hang on to your hat because it'll be in the neighbor's yard if you go out there without a hand on your hat. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, how are you?
I'm doing well.
Yeah.
Doing well.
Are you enjoying Hinton?
Yes,
yeah.
I am.
Yeah. You settled in a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say this over broadcast, but we actually decorated for Christmas this past weekend.
What?
I know.
You did not.
People tell us we're crazy, but we love Christmas.
Okay, fair. That would be true if you're decorating
with
now.
The way 2020 is going with all of the craziness. I saw somewhere that it was allowed.
Oh, it was allowed.
It was allowed to decorate early for Christmas just to bring some cheer to 2020.
Okay, there you go.
So,
well, if that's the case, then you can leave it all up.
Right?
You can go right through 2021, apparently, with your Christmas decorations up just to bring some cheer.
Just to bring some cheer.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of exciting, I guess. Oh, yeah. I love Christmas, too. I heard a radio advertisement. They had one of the Christmas songs going, thinking, oh, it's coming. It's coming around the corner.
I think we're 59 days
away. Oh, you've got it counted even.
We do. We have a countdown.
Woo!
Actually, two countdowns.
Yeah. I heard a really good Christmas song by King and Country. Mm-hmm. I think it was called, but it's their only Christmas carol, I think. Or maybe it's their first Christmas album. Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah.
But it was really good. I really liked it. He Came to Save Us, I think it was called. Mm-hmm. Got to check that out.
Yes.
A little free PR for King and Country,
right?
As if they need it,
right?
From our little audience.
Well, we are listening to Christmas music right now.
Oh, so you are? You've already started the process.
We have embraced it.
Oh, man, you are going crazy on it. Yikes. That's too soon for me. I suppose it'll come soon enough.
Oh, yeah. Well, today we are taking a look at... the passage that you preached on Sunday. We kind of went back.
Yes, we went backwards
to Paul's prayer and finished it out, focusing it on power.
Yes, incomparably great power. Paul just can't get away from using his big, you know, what are those called?
Adjectives. Yes,
yeah.
He loves his adjectives.
And this prayer is full of them. Hey? So he couldn't get away from using. I think in the King James is exceedingly great. Some of the other ones was surpassing great. So you can't fully comprehend this power that God has available to us when we believe.
Right.
And so it was kind of fun to go back and preach a little bit, especially, you know, you had covered chapter 2 and the first 10 verses there or so.
Right.
And you had dived into the whole thing of being dead and then coming to life again.
Right.
Well, that takes power.
Definitely.
You can't do that without power.
No.
And to say that somehow power is not as important, it's not. It's very important.
Very important.
And we went right away to the thought that without resurrection, because that's the first thing he uses as an illustration.
That's right.
Says, so this is what it's like.
Right.
It's like God raising Christ from the dead.
Yeah.
And without resurrection, we got nothing. That's 1 Corinthians 15.
That's right.
We are hopeless. We're lost in our sins. Mm-hmm. And we are to be pitied above all other religions because we've been duped, seriously.
Yes.
So resurrection is like, it's the one
absolutely
thing
essential
that makes it all work is the power of God found in resurrecting someone from the life. It's also the hardest thing to believe.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about it, right?
Definitely.
Because most religions, you figure out how to get to God.
Right.
Right. That's, I think that would be a pretty,
pretty
maybe generalizing, but I think essentially that's what happens in other religions. You try to get to God.
Right.
But in Christianity, God comes to you.
Yes.
So it's like a different direction even.
Yeah.
And he comes down here and he dies. He humbles himself and he dies. And then he is resurrected. Mm-hmm. And you get the idea, I think, through some of what he talks about there in the Gospels, this whole idea of being resurrected. It's kind of like the proof,
right,
of everything he did up until that point, mm-hmm, right? Because I suppose you could say that a lunatic could probably claim to be Jesus.
Oh, definitely.
You know, you can make all kinds of claims. Right. Your sins are forgiven is a claim.
Right.
But you can't prove it.
No.
How would you be able to prove that?
That's right.
So I would think that a resurrected body would be proof that the other things that have been spoken, mm-hmm, were credible.
Definitely.
What do you think?
Absolutely. I've heard it said, you know, you can't say that Jesus was just a good man.
Yeah.
He was either a lunatic.
Right.
Or he was who he said
he
was.
Yeah.
And I think, you look at the fact that there is no body.
Yeah.
There is no body. And the nature of that with the culture, mm-hmm, back then, a body wouldn't have just disappeared.
No.
Roman guards would have never fallen asleep and allowed a body to be stolen.
Right. Because that would be their life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The body wouldn't have just disappeared.
Mm-hmm. True enough. So it gives credibility. So the resurrection power of Christ is so important. Mm-hmm. And then he branches off of the resurrection. He says, and the other thing is that it's the power that puts him at the utmost authority in all the world, mm-hmm, by exalting him to the right hand of the throne of God the Father. Mm-hmm. Right? So, I mean, in our world minds, I don't think that means as much as it would have to those original leaders,
right?
Because they know what the right hand is. They knew that if you got to sit at the right hand of the emperor, mm-hmm, wow, you had a powerful place.
That's right.
Like you're co-equal with the emperor.
Yeah.
So, you know, that to us though, that doesn't mean as much.
No.
But it's still, I think, it's an applicable illustration of this power, because he goes on to sort of flesh it out, as in he's sitting here, everything else in the universe is now under his
authority.
So everything, not some things, mm-hmm, everything. So and I think it doesn't always mean that everything sort of takes on a Christ likeness though.
No,
because even though he has authority over it all, you know, it comes through those who believe. So we're advancing the kingdom of God. The more we advance, the more authority he has, sort of territory taken kind of idea.
Right.
And I think that's all good. And then it flows from there into the church, because I think the church is kind of the physicality of this place that he's enthroned at. We are his hands, his feet. We are his voice. We are who he is who we are, because we are his body, it says, which I think is an astounding claim.
It is.
You know, I mean, you think
especially
about it.
Especially when you read here where he's been placed.
Yeah.
All rule, all authority. And then we are his hands and feet.
We
are his body.
Mm, agreed. So we take that authority and we put it into sort of practice.
Right.
Like Jesus did in the Gospels, going around from place to place, doing good, healing those, defeating the enemy, delivering people from Satan and sickness and themselves. And, you know, so he did all of that with his body.
Right.
But then he ascended into heaven and left behind the church, which is his body. Mm-hmm. And then it talks about how he fills the church with the fullness of who he is.
Right.
So we're his, in essence, we are him. We are him to our town.
Right. Definitely.
So it's actually quite a way to think about yourself, especially when it relates to how we relate to each other and how we relate to the town.
That's right.
And I love, you know, this little thing that we're doing right now, the Coats for Kids, because it's opening up the doors of our church to show our compassion. We have all these little jackets sitting here in your office, you know. Each one of those little critters is looking for a coat. He or she can have one right here.
Yeah.
They can come and get one for free. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a wonderful gift to the community. It's a way to support.
And, you know, going back, you know, when we talk about, you know, other religions say, what do you do to get to God?
Yeah.
What do you do to appease God?
Yeah.
We have a God who came to us, a God who sacrificed to save us. Mm-hmm. And now our lives stay on that same trajectory, that we don't do good to appease him. We don't do good to earn our salvation.
No, right.
He did all that.
Yeah, that's right.
The good that we do is...
It comes out of right,
that.
Right.
It comes out of that new identity that we've been given in him.
Mm.
And so we go out and we do good, not so that we can appease him, but so that we can build his kingdom.
Yeah.
So that we can show to the world the power of the gospel.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, that's our calling. That's mm-hmm. how we're mandated to do this, right? Right. And we carry this great power in broken vessels. Like,
right.
Like we have our own distresses. We have our mm-hmm. own issues. We have our own problems. And this great power that God gives to those who believe is to help us in those things.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think we were talking earlier about what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where he asked God to take away this thorn in his side or his flesh. And God says to him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect mm-hmm. in weakness."
Yeah.
So then he goes on this little weird tangent. Right? He goes into this, "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses." Yeah. That's just upside down thinking.
It is.
Who does that? Mm-hmm. You know, woohoo, I'm really weak.
Right.
Yay. You know,
because it seems so contradictory to the idea of walking in power and power being made perfect.
Right.
Because in the worldly sense of power, well, that means I overcome my weaknesses,
yes.
that I am no longer weak
right.
because I am powerful.
Right, right.
But as a believer, as a follower of Christ, mm-hmm. it's recognizing I am weak.
Yes. Hmm.
But he is strong.
Right. Yeah. It's like harnessed power or something. Yeah. I'm not sure how you'd maybe describe it. But the weakness itself harnesses the power.
Because mm-hmm.
that's where the power of God meets us.
Right.
So I if he's going to boast about his weakness, it doesn't mean that it's going to be taken away.
No.
Because he already prayed for that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But in the midst of his weakness, that's where he found the power of God to be the most demonstrable mm-hmm. because he was able to function, able to move forward, yeah. able to go, you know, take the gospel and the mission that he was on to the rest of the world mm-hmm. with his own weaknesses.
Yeah, because I think that's a question we have to wrestle with is if power doesn't mean the getting rid of weakness, which is what the world would define it as,
yes.
but instead power is shown in weakness. Mm-hmm. How do we practically live that out?
Yeah.
To where we boast of our weaknesses.
That yeah.
We don't hide them. We aren't ashamed of them.
Right.
We don't try to get rid of them. But we say, look, my weakness shows Christ. How do we walk in that?
Yeah. Well, he goes on to say, like, we can carry this conversation a little bit forward and then answer that question.
Yeah.
Because in verse 20 of chapter 2 or chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians, he says, "That's why, for Christ's sake, I delight." Like, he actually uses that word, delight.
Mm-hmm.
I think of delight as, you know, pleasurable, exciting, kind of fun.
Right.
You know, that's what delight is. But he uses the word delight. He delights in his weakness. So it's not just power to kind of motor through.
Right.
It's actually power to put you on the other side of the weakness.
Yeah.
And delight in it. It's just not humanly sort of human.
No, I know.
We all complain so much about our weaknesses.
Definitely.
And he says, "I delight not only in weakness," though. He delights in insults,
mm-hmm.
in harshness. Now, either this guy is completely off his rocker, or
right.
this is actually what the power of God is yeah. for. It's to help us in our hardships. Well, thank God for that, because we need help.
Yes.
Right, and we can't depend just on people. I mean, we should depend on the body, mm-hmm. because the body of Christ is the power of God
right.
towards each other.
Mm-hmm.
So we depend on that. But in our hardships, we can find him in our hardships, in persecutions, which we don't really have too much of here. There's a
no.
bit, but not like in some parts of the world right. where it's dangerous just to say yeah. you're a Christian, and in difficulties. "For when I'm weak, then I am strong." It's like He actually says, here's how I harness all of this fantastic power that raised Christ from the dead. I apply it to my attitude.
Yeah.
I delight in.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, I don't know. What else could you say about power that's so attractive?
Oh,
so I think practically working out, what do you think? Does that sound like it's a practical outworking of this power?
Yes, because I think so many times, I think our prayers can focus in around, "God, take this burden away. God, take this
right.
calamity away. God, take this weakness away. God, take these insults away. God, take these hardships away.
Right. Yeah.
Instead of, God, reveal more of your power. Open my eyes more and more to the power that you've given me in these weaknesses.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I wonder how much greater of a testimony we might have if we embrace our weaknesses, we embrace those hardships and say, okay, God, I'm ready for you to show up.
Yeah.
I'm ready for your power to be seen in these things.
Yeah.
Instead of sitting around and waiting for them to be taken away.
Right. Which I wonder how much we do. Mm-hmm. Like, I just think of my life. Of course I do.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's wrong. I mean, Paul asked for whatever it was that was troubling him to be taken away.
Right.
But eventually he came to the place where, well, this isn't leaving. Mm-hmm. So I need to see it differently.
Right.
And God gave him revelation, thankfully, for the rest of us and for himself, but for the rest of us too, to say, no, my grace will be sufficient. I think it's interesting how his grace is also his power.
Yeah.
So those two things are somehow married in this passage. But I think you're right. I think when we pray and we ask God to change our circumstances, I believe that we are called by and asked and encouraged by God to do so, right?
Oh, definitely.
To call out to him for times of trouble.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we would start, because that's even where Paul started. Right. He started by saying, take this away. Mm-hmm. But at some point, our testimony, like you said, I wonder if our testimony wouldn't be greater if we could have an amazing attitude.
Yeah.
Like delight, that's a pretty amazing attitude.
Yes.
In these things that other people see as negative and hard and woe is me, and always looking to get out of it rather than to find truth and power and grace in it.
Right.
Maybe, you know?
Yeah.
I was even thinking, like on Sunday when I was preaching, one of the points was that when we pray and we ask God for more power, because I've been in prayer meetings before. I've prayed this too for me. Lord, I need more power. And I'm kind of like going, actually, that's a bit of a misnomer of a prayer as well.
That's right.
Because I have all the power I need. It's in Christ. It's already there. I need to be praying, Lord, help me see the power you've already given me.
Right.
So that I can apply it to whatever the situation might be that I'm in. And I think it helps us put our head and our heart in the right place rather than running around trying to get God, like, God, be a genie for me. I'll rub you just right and presto, you know.
Right.
You know, I used to watch that show on TV. What was that one? Yeah. The Genie show.
Yeah, Aladdin.
Where she wiggled her nose or Aladdin, where they rub the lamp and out comes the genie. You know, 10,000 years will give you such a crink in the neck, you know. Yeah, that's power, right? Yeah.
Yeah. It's challenging because I think especially in, you know, North America, it's easy to think that the good life is a comfortable life.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's so easy, like that's what society pursues, is a comfortable life with, you know, where sickness is alleviated, hardships are alleviated. And I think even in the church, it can get to where those who are facing intense hardship are almost looked down upon. Like, well, are you having enough faith if you're going through this? Or are you really trusting if you're still struggling with this? And instead, if we...
That can be tricky, hey?
It can be.
Because it probably feels a little bit like I wouldn't say bullied, but you can feel less than you should be, or guilty that you don't have, don't have enough faith, or that kind of thing. And I think it's a very thin edge that you walk on when you say to someone, you need to have more faith. Mm-hmm. When Jesus even said, you just have to have faith the size of a mustard seed to move a mountain.
Right.
So how much more do I need?
Yeah.
I mean, are you saying I don't have a mustard seed size of faith? Is that what you're saying to me?
Yeah.
Which is almost like an insult, or it's almost like a, it's like a bully tactic.
It is.
You know, kind of feel to it.
Yeah. And it puts the weight on us.
Yeah.
Because now all of a sudden, the blessings of God or whatever it might be are dependent upon me.
Yeah.
And I think that goes totally against what Paul is saying here in chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians. Is that, no.
Yeah.
Your weakness.
Yeah.
That shows power.
Yes.
Your weakness, that shows strength.
Mm.
And so for the person who's struggling to pay their bills, who's lost a job, and they're thinking, wow, do I just not have enough faith because my bank account is running out?
Right.
Or the person struggling with sickness over and over and over, and they're like, man, am I struggling in my faith because of, you know, is this a sign that I'm not having enough faith?
Yeah.
Or hardship after hardship.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I think sometimes God will use certain things to get our attention.
Sure.
But that's not always the case. No. I think as we see here so many times, it's those opportunities for us to see the greatness, the immeasurable greatness of God's power.
It's a little bit like you add more to the burden by thinking that way.
Yeah.
Like it's already a burden
right,
to go through your hardship.
Yeah.
But then you add extra burden
by
thinking my faith isn't big enough somehow because this isn't changing. So now I've added another burden to my burden.
Right.
Which I think is sort of defeatist in it. And I think that's why some people maybe even just walk away.
Yeah.
Because they, I prayed, it didn't change, or I tried and it didn't help, or I, you know, all those kind of things that people say about Christianity.
Right.
And you think, well, yes, you can try, but in terms of faith, it's not about how much you have, I suppose, in that sense. It's about using what you have.
Right.
And that might mean thinking God's power will be sufficient for you in the midst of what this hardship is. And going through it with his and delight, which I just, again, I go back to that word delight. It kind of freaks me out a little.
Yeah, it does. Hey,
it's like, what? How can you be delighting in this? It just doesn't make sense to me.
And then if, you know, part of you would say, yes, I want to get there. And then it's realizing, oh, that means I have to go through that stuff.
Hold on. Yeesh. That means hardship. Right? I have to think about it so differently. Persecution, insults, stresses, distress. One translation is distresses. Well, that puts it on a whole nother level because if it's just distress, like think about all the times you're distressed.
Right.
Right. Just throughout the day, somebody cuts you off, you get distressed.
Right.
Somebody says something nasty to you, you get distressed. You know, all these little distresses that you have throughout the day, you pick them up like barnacles on your boat. Mm-hmm. And you think, well, his power is made perfect. It's perfected in all of those distresses.
That's right.
And not only is it made perfect, because then you think, okay, well, what does that mean? What does that look like? And it looks like an attitude of delight. I think James says the same thing, chapter 1.
Yeah.
Consider it all joy,
that's right,
my brothers and sisters, when you encounter various trials.
Yeah.
Of many kinds.
Yes.
Right? Because God is working in your life. He's maturing you. Wow. That's how about exciting is that?
Yeah.
Thank you very much, God. But again, he uses that weird word, consider it all joy when you encounter these hardships.
That's right.
And you think of Jesus, it says in Hebrews that he was anointed with joy above his fellows. So above those he was with, he was anointed with joy. And it was for the joy that he went forward, suffering the cross.
Right.
Right. He went because of joy. Because he went forward with that.
Yeah.
And I guess there's this underlying seed that I think we short sell our power. We short sell it.
Definitely.
Because we would rather mope.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? Because even in the service, like we watched that video from Rick Warren for Celebrate Recovery.
Right.
And what was one of the things? Instead of mourning, don't mourn. It's okay to mourn,
not okay to mope.
To mope. He did use the word mope,
didn't
he?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah. Because moping is just not helpful.
No.
Right? But yet, where do we find ourselves most of the time? In the moping zone.
Oh, definitely.
And mourning is fine because mourning will be comforted, right? You'll find comfort in your mourning. But moping doesn't help.
No.
Or moaning, maybe it was. Mourning or moaning? It could have been moaning.
Moaning, yeah.
Because he's one of those guys that he knows how to put those little...
He does.
I don't know what you call them. Words together.
Pithy words.
Pithy statements.
Phrases, yeah.
He's like the master of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, just about every one of the points he said had something like that in it.
Yeah.
You give him your pieces and he gives you your piece.
Yeah.
Or he gives you his piece.
Yeah.
Clever stuff, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Turn of phrase. Not my department. I borrow, beg, and steal from those guys. These little axioms, I think they're called.
Axioms, yes, that sounds right.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that's where we ended up on Sunday was with a call to bless our Celebrate Recovery people.
Yes.
Because our church is opening up its doors starting November 5th to accommodate people who are looking to find some stability in these issues that they face all the time. And I think what they're looking for is, they're looking to overcome their habits that are destructive, overcome things in their lives that are full of anger or full of hurt or full of pain or whatever the case might be. So that was where we ended up on Sunday.
And I think it's a challenge to us, you know, in our own lives, absolutely. Also, as we walk alongside others. I think, you know, a lot of times we like to give people the quick fixes. Well, if you just do this, it'll get better. If you just do that, it'll get better.
Yeah.
And almost have that idea, if it doesn't work out, well, they probably did something wrong.
Yeah.
If they would just listen to what I said.
Do it exactly what I say. My recipe for success.
Yeah. And instead, how can we walk with people in their weaknesses, in their struggles, glorifying God?
That's where body life comes in, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how we can pray for each other, because that's, bear again, back to James, burdens. Bear one another's burdens. Yeah. James, pray for each other.
Right.
Confess your sins one to another. Mm-hmm. Pray for each other. Prayer of faith will find healing. You'll be healed.
Yeah.
And, or at least you'll find healing in your attitude so that you can be delightful in whatever it is you're facing.
Right.
Because the Lord somehow in his great wisdom thinks that's what you need in your life at this moment. Mm-hmm. So you have to be able to be humble and submissive and follow along that way.
Yeah. I read somewhere once that, you know, we're like trees and God knows exactly where to put us for us to grow and thrive. There are those trees that need to be in the safety of a garden.
Yeah.
With a windbreak to where nothing can get at them.
Right. Very
then
tender.
There are those trees that are on that craggy cliff.
Yeah.
That are holding on. That they are just thriving on that cliffside. And if you swapped either one of them to the other spot,
they wouldn't survive.
They wouldn't survive.
Yeah.
And it's like God knows exactly what we need in our lives.
Yeah.
So we can find the greatest joy in him.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. That's a good illustration to think of it as, you know, a tree in a garden versus a tree on the side of a cliff. Getting like that little bit of dirt that's in the crack that somehow produces a whole tree.
Yeah.
How does that happen? I always wonder about that. Mm-hmm. God's goodness.
Yes.
Well. So going forward, we just want to make everybody known, if you're in the Hinton area, that our church is opening up its doors to celebrate recovery.
Yes.
It's for those who struggle with addiction. It's for those who are looking or seeking for Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, for Christ to heal them, for Christ to help them through their issues, to help them overcome.
Yeah.
So I think that we want to just make sure everybody's aware of that, invited to come and join.
Yep. Thursdays starting November 5th, 7 p.m. here at Hinton Lions Church.
Yeah. We've had four people specifically training themselves for months.
Yes. I think this is since February.
Yep. So to make this happen. So. Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited to see what God has done in their lives.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you, Kevin. Thank you for just your message on Sunday and that encouragement, that challenge.
No problem.
And love Lord, would you open our eyes to the power you've given us.
Amen. Yes, amen.
Thank you for joining us for this week's Pastor's Ponderings. We hope you enjoyed it, and we look forward to diving in again with you next week. But until then, keep loving God and serving people.